So no, he basically tells Satan, keep the bread. I don't make a move without my dad. Keep your moldy, stony, desert bread, man. Man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So, Satan comes at him again, challenges him again, takes him up to the pinnacle of the temple in Jerusalem. Somehow in the spirit he does that. I don't know how, but he does that. And in Matthew 4:6, this is what he says to him. Son of a gun. Well, no, son of God. Yeah, thank you. You old son of a gun. If, I mean, the very first word casts doubt. He didn't, all he has to do is say if. He's already throwing doubt at him. If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it's written, he'll give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they'll bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. He's challenging him all over again. He doesn't go away easily. Sometimes you have to rebuke him a couple of times before he walks away. Praise God. He's trying to get Jesus to doubt what God has already declared and demonstrated through the Holy Spirit. And, once again, he's trying to get Jesus to act independently of his Father. Praise God. And once again, Jesus just quotes the Scriptures. He says, it is written. He says, it is written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. How many temptations do we have in Scripture? Three. Third one, challenges his sonship. Now, he doesn't come out directly and say it because Satan is subtle. But watch this. This is wild. He challenges his sonship again. In Matthew 4:9, he takes him up to a high mountain and shows him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And this is what he says to him. And he said to him, Matthew 4:9, all these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. Now, how does that challenge his sonship? Why? Because there is a very well-known prophecy in Psalm chapter 2 that talks of, in Scripture, that talks about Jesus hundreds of years before he even was born. And in Psalm chapter 2, verses 7 to 9, this prophecy about Jesus says, I will declare the decree. The Lord has said to me, what? You are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me, says God, says the Lord. Ask of me, and I will give you what? The nations for your inheritance and the ends of the earth for your possession. Hundreds of years before, God had already promised it to Jesus because he was his son. I'm sure Jesus was like, you can't give him me squat, devil. What are you talking about? Worship you. My dad already promised me the nations of the world. You aren't showing me nothing. In fact, that's what he said. I think in the very next verse, he said to Satan, then verse 10, then Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. And when he said, away with you, Satan, Satan had to leave. He rebuked him with authority, and finally Satan had to just go. Satan does not want you to know the riches you have in Christ. It gives you authority over him. It means you don't have to bow and scrape and compromise and resort to his methods and his worldly tactics to get the things that you need. God has already opened the riches of the doors of heaven to supply your every need in Christ if you will walk in the love relationship of sonship in Christ. Praise God. Satan tried to get Jesus to doubt God's provision. Do we need provision? Yeah. You want to eat today? You need gas for your car? Electricity in your house? I know what it's like to be without electricity, man. You need electricity in the house. Satan tried to get Jesus to doubt God's provision in the place of need, but Jesus knew that because he was God's son, God always provides for his children. Satan tried to get Jesus to doubt God's protection when he was in a place of danger. But Jesus knew that no one touches God's children without his permission. Satan tried to get Jesus to doubt God's purpose in a place of temptation. But Jesus knew that it is in the worship of God that God's children always find their purpose. That is our purpose, to know Him and love Him and worship Him. In Him we have provision, we have protection, we have purpose, we have security, we have acceptance, and we have significance. That is your inheritance in Christ. Praise God. Every temptation Satan threw at Him, Jesus challenged Him right back with the Word of Scripture. That's why it's so important for us to know what the Word of God says about our sonship in Christ. If we don't know it, how can we take advantage of it? How can we walk in it if we don't know what belongs to us? And that's why it's also important. That is why it is so important, my dear friends, to walk in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Because that is God's way. That witnessing your heart is God's way of declaring to you that you are His beloved child, in whom He is well pleased, in whom He takes great pleasure. Now, I don't know how many people here today have grown up with rejection from their parents. I've heard stories that are heart-wrenching of the abandonment, the harshness and the cruelty, and the rejection of parents. I don't know how many people here today are carrying around great scars or open wounds emotionally because your mother or your father refused to embrace you, refused to love you, refused to accept you for who you are, and just take pleasure in you. In all your life, you may have been doing all kinds of crazy stuff to deal with that pain of rejection. It cuts deep, man. It'll cut you up and spit you out. In all your life, you may have been doing the craziest, wildest stuff to try to numb that pain, to try to get away from that sense that I am not worth love. I am not worth the affection of the very people who brought me into this world. Why can't they just love me for who I am? Why can't they just stop judging me and making these endless lists of rules to try to be acceptable in their sight that I can never, ever, ever fulfill? Why can't they just ever throw their arms around me and not care what anybody thinks and say, I love you with all of my heart. You mean so much to me. You are priceless in my eyes. I love you more than life. How many people would long to hear those words from their mom or their dad? I know it's epidemic in our country. It destroys people. But let me say this. If you are a Christian, God wants you to know. He doesn't want there to be a doubt in your mind. He wants you to know, like you know you are alive. He wants you to know that He loves you. I mean, He loves you. He loves you. He loves you more than life. Jesus went to the cross because He loves you more than life itself. What greater love could God do to demonstrate how much you mean to Him? He wants you to know that whatever rejection you may have sensed in this world, whatever scars you may be carrying, whatever words you have heard, or whatever words your soul craves to have heard in your life that you never did. He wants you to know that He loves you, that you are His beloved child, and He takes great pleasure in you. Great pleasure in you. He rejoices in you. You thrill Him. If I could bring Matt or RJ up here, or even little Benjamin and Dennis could hold, one of you guys could just hold your son up here, man. You want to get him? Go bring him up here. I want you to know, God wants you to know that you are the apple of His eye, that you are the object of His affection. He doesn't want this to be some fact you memorize in a theology class. He wants you to know it in your very bones. the very fabric of your being, that you are a priceless treasure to Him. This will work. Hi, Paul. Look at that smile. Not his, his. That's God's smile over you. Keep smiling, brother. You see that laugh? You see that laugh? I love what I got for Christmas from... Hold on, and Matt. Hold on. I got lots of stuff for Christmas from my kids. Do you see the resemblance in the expression on the countenance? This is how Jesus, this is how Christ feels about you.
Is he laughing? He looks like he's laughing. Is he laughing at me?
He's rejoicing. He's rejoicing. He's laughing with you, Jenny. This is how he feels. Doesn't it? You can see the resemblance in the smile, in the laugh, in the way he holds him, the way he protects him, the way he enjoys the presence of his son in his arms, close to his heart. The way he looks at him and says, wow, you have grown. You're so big now. When he watches him walk across the room without holding on to anything, and he just kind of... He's like, wow, you're walking. You know what? When you start walking in sonship, when you grasp this and you just worship God and you start walking in His sonship, rejoicing in His promises and His love over you, God looks at you walking in that, especially if you're just green at it. He's like, you're walking. Look at my boy walk. Look at my girl walk. Look at them walking in the promises and the richness that I have given them as an inheritance in Christ. And Jesus is there. Yeah, look at them walking in what I died for them to have, because it meant more than life for them to have what I wanted to give them. Right? And that smile is what God wants to put on your face. That smile that says, I love you. I love you. That's what God wants on your face. I'm serious. I'm serious. Do we fall short? Absolutely. Does this little youngster fall down? Absolutely. Does he love us anyway? Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, buddy. Oh, thank you, brother. If you're a Christian, if you have received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are now in Christ, and you are the object of God's love. And if you take nothing else away from today, know this, the Holy Spirit, God wants you to experience His glory, because it is God's way of declaring to you that you are His beloved child in whom He is well pleased. Well pleased. He is so thrilled. If you have never prayed to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, God still loves you. And in fact, He loves you so much that He allowed Christ to take your sins upon Himself. When He was dying on that cross, He was paying the penalty for that we deserve for our sins. So that we don't have to pay that. When we die and stand before Him, our sins are washed clean as though we had never sinned in our entire life, because Christ has already paid every vestige of penalty necessary to atone for our sins. When we receive Christ as our Lord and Savior, we stand before God completely and utterly righteous in His eyes. Now, as a father, He'll still train us up. He may have to chasten us once in a while to correct our attitude. But there's no condemnation. It's done out of the depths of His affection and love for us. If you've never prayed to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior, He wants you to know in His Word, John 1:12. Did I put that up there? That's okay. John 1:12, the Bible says, as many as received Him, as many as received Jesus, to them He gave the right to become children of God. to those who believe in His name. And if you're a child of God, every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places belongs to you. What do you inherit?
Everything.
Everything. Everything. Amen.